magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. Marianne joins me here at our Great News Radio studio here at Lincoln Square, and we have a special guest on the phone lines. We've already prayed up the program. We've been delighted by her humor, some of her storytelling, and you will be blessed in a number of ways. She produced a book that we have here at the center, Forgettable Jokes for Older Folks. I love that. Martha Bolton joins us. You'll be familiar with many people that she's worked with over the years, names like Bob Hope, Phyllis Diller, Wayne Newton, to name a few. And Martha, we're so glad you're able to join us. You have a busy schedule, but why Marianne and I were so delighted to have you on is you're a senior saint that's still really active and involved and enthusiastic. So I hope it's a blessing to the many seniors tuned in today, but also for the youth and the young at heart that need a good laugh, because it says in Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Yeah. The King James rendering is, a merry heart doeth, I'll do my King James for the day, doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drives up the bones. Well, you know all about humor, even through your mission statement, which I just love. You just told us, life's tough, God's good, and laughter is calorie free. So, awesome. Martha, thank you for joining us for today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Well, it's great to be here, and I always love sharing with everybody, but also definitely the older generation, because as we get older, we start, that plate of medicine keeps growing and growing, and this is one good medicine that could possibly take the place of a few others. So if we can learn to lighten up and see life in a little less stressful way, and the things that go wrong, just kind of look at it, get laughs wherever we can, it's healthy.
I like that.
It's proven medically that it's healthy to do. So.
Yes, it is. I should read a little bit, too. Everybody.
Yeah, because mine was kind of a spontaneous outburst of, I appreciate this, Martha. She's a lot of fun.
We should tell people who she is.
Yes. Let me read. Yes.
Okay, Martha Bolton is a former staff writer for Bob Hope. That is so impressive. I'll just keep on now. And author of 89 books. Wow.
Wait, say that again.
Oh, my word. 89 books. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's just so big. She has also written for Phyllis Diller, Mark Lowry, Shonda Pierce, and many others. She's been nominated for Emmy, Dove, and Writers Guild Awards. You're nominated for a Writers Guild Award for the Emmy-winning Bob Hope special, The First 90 Years. Martha is the author of 3 New York Times best-selling books, and currently she's the playwright for the Bluegate musicals. Most of her life, she's lived in California, but now makes Middle Tennessee her home. Martha was Bob's first full-time female staff writer. Go, Martha. Mm-hmm. That's not in here. And wrote for his television specials, over 30 hours of primetime programming and 15 years of his personal appearances and special events. As a staff writer for Bob Hope, Bolton had the opportunity to write scripted lines for a virtual who's who in entertainment, sports, and politics.
And mention some of the quotes that others have said about our dear Martha, now a good friend of this radio ministry.
I know. We love you, Martha. Okay, here's quotes. Martha is one of the funniest writers alive today. That was from Phyllis Diller. Martha Bolton finds fun in the familiar, the mirth in the mundane, the belly laughs and the belly aches of everyday living. That was Bob Hope.
Wow.
And look at this from Wayne Newton. Look up the definition of a great top comedy writer, and a picture of Martha Bolton would appear. She's the best, and I'm honored to know her. That is so cool.
It's been quite a career.
Yeah, it has. Talk about
it. It all started when I started out as a church secretary. That's how I started writing.
Come on.
You survived being a church secretary. You can do anything.
Oh, that's not...
Well, it was fun, and I had a lot of people who definitely let me practice on them, so I owe them my entire career. But it was a great training ground. I would get up and roast the pastor if he had a birthday or anniversary or whatever, and the pastor or the Sunday school superintendent or whoever. And I'd do it like the Friars Club roast or the Dean Martin roast, and we'd have, you know, different people that would get up, and I'd write the script, and we'd all give them a roast. Then I started getting invited to roast other churches' pastors. And
and they let you stay in the church
kind of
and everything.
Started, yeah.
Now, did you have this writing skill, like a sharp mind? Did you love words? Was
it
training?
I loved words. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, I still do. And I started when I was 9. I wrote a little book called No Fun Being Young. and it was being about the, you know, being the youngest in my family. And I just always loved it. And then when I was 12, 13, 14, in, you know, my early teen years, I would write poetry, and I would tape it on the wall next to my bed, and I had 30, 35 poems up there.
That's great.
And so I can look back and see that I was always destined to be a writer, but I never really thought that it would be a job. I always thought it'd be a hobby. Hmm. And I collected little jokes, and I kept a little 3x5 file container that had all these 3x5 cards on it with all these jokes that I, you know, I'd just collect. And so I did that in my early teen years. And entered a gag writing contest for a newspaper when I was 14, and then the newspaper printed it, and I was so excited, and then I kept going, and then I got into plays, writing plays for my church, and those, you know, we'd put on at Christmas and Easter, and just kept doing that every year, and then I got a lot of encouragement from different people to start sending my material to Hollywood, and I had never even thought about it, but then I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, maybe. So I did.
Wow.
My surprise, they started buying.
And now these many years removed, you finally made it into the Prime Lifetimes paper here. Wow.
Yeah.
The achievements just keep building.
They just keep piling up.
Yeah.
I mean, Hollywood first and us.
Yeah.
Keep moving up.
And I can imagine just those many years with Bob Hope and then with Mark Lowry and Shonda Pierce.
Yeah.
They've both been in our area and performed with the Gaithers and other events locally here. So I'm sure you have just so many memories. This could be like one of a dozen interviews just to recount some of the things that you did or witnessed or saw or experienced.
Well, what was it like, with Bob Hope and so forth? What was that like?
It was fabulous. Number one, this is what I always like to brag about him. I was with him for 15 years, and in that amount of time, he never said one unkind word to me. I mean, he was just the best boss that you could imagine, and very supportive, very encouraging. Things would happen. He'd call you up at home and, you know, just be there for you. If you know, we went through the loss of my mom when he was around, you know, and he just was always encouraging. He'd be there, you know, if the couple of incidences where had another son that had a skateboard accident, and then, you know, he'd send flowers. It was just always real hands-on as far as your emotional support and whatnot. Very caring, very, very wonderful boss. And then the work, you know, I learned everything as far as like fast writing and volume writing and all of that, you know, from him, from the best. How, you know, where do you go from there after that?
Yeah,
but it was a great training ground, and him and Phyllis, they both would do this. If they particularly liked to joke, they would tell you why, and they'd say, send more like this, and I mean, they really kind of walked you through it, and you really got a sense of, you know, what they wanted and what they needed, and they were very gracious with their compliments, so it built up your confidence.
It just says a lot about them as people. I love that. I love
that. Oh, yeah. Can't say enough good about them both.
You yourself kind of, don't you teach kind of how to formulate a joke and how to, the blocks to put it together and so forth?
Yeah, I've done that. I enjoy teaching comedy. I also serve on the advisory board for the Christian Comedian Association, and, you know, you try and help mentor newcomers or help, you know, in the classes and, you know, just be available as much as you can about sharing what you've learned. I mean, you know, people can take it or do something else, but I think it helps to listen to what the legends had to say about comedy and whatnot, and that's how I learned, and still good advice today.
Yeah.
Even though comedy goes through its own changes, but I liked it when it was a little less mean.
No need to be mean.
No need. Well, the thing of it is about comedy is if everybody's not laughing, you know, especially like a roast, if you're coming down too hard on the guest of honor, then if they're not having fun, then why are you there?
Right.
You're there to honor this person, and you could have fun, but, you know, it should come across that you're honoring them and not beating them up.
I love that phrase. If everybody's not laughing, it's not good.
Yeah. That's the point of the comedy, is everybody should be laughing.
Yeah.
Now, Red Skelton comes to mind. Did you ever work with him? He seemed like he was one that always had pretty clean, above-board humor.
I grew up watching, you know, his shows on TV and whatnot. Two of the writers that worked for Bob Hope also wrote for Red, so I hear stories and whatnot, but I didn't get to write for him, but I would have loved to have. Had I been just a little bit older.
But
I would have loved to have written for Red.
I'm thinking also, at least somebody is under the illusion that it's just easy and it's fun. How are those pressing deadlines, like when, you know, they got to go out on stage or need a script in front of them? There has to be a lot of pressure, and even more pressure because this has got to be funny, pithy.
Yeah.
It's got to be timely. How do you balance all that, the pressures, and then still keep the same?
It is pressure. It truly is pressure, especially when he's just about to go out on stage and he has arrived at the event and found out something that he wants added to the monologue.
Oh my.
And you're sitting there on the phone while he's breathing on the other end, ready to walk out on stage. And I finally got to the point where I would say, let me call you back in about 3 minutes, and then at least you get the pressure of the breathing out of your ear. You know?
Wow.
But there is one story that I love to share. Is he was going to a psychiatrist convention, which is, you know, a comedy writer's dream assignment. So the jokes can almost just come out, you know, just fall out of your brain. But so he was going there, and we all wrote jokes and everything for the assignment, and he had it all put together, and he gets to the venue. Well, when he got there, he discovers that it was not a psychiatrist convention. It was a chiropractor's convention.
Oh, my.
So we get a call. And we had, I think, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to write an entirely different act for chiropractors rather than psychiatrists.
So. Yeah.
Wow.
But that's pressure, you know, when you just hang up and you got to just rework it all, you know.
Yeah.
But you do it. You come through, so.
Wow. In case you just tuned in, listener, we are talking to Martha Bolton, a really kind of well-known comedy writer. Is that how we would say writer or script writer?
Yeah.
What would you say, Martha?
comedy writer.
Yeah. She's written for Bob Hope, Shonda Pierce, Mark Lowry, Phyllis Diller, and we're having a wonderful conversation. And right now we're talking about the intense pressure of Bob Hope calling up and saying, I need a brand new funny script in like 3 minutes.
And she's also featured in this month's edition of the Prime Lifetimes. We received your book some months back. It's titled Forgettable Jokes for the Older Folks. It's one of 89 books that you've penned over the years. It's just incredible to think that you're still writing, you're still involved, you're still engaged, you're teaching young writers or young comedians and how to present. I love that your life is very full, and yet you said that it wasn't always roses. I mean, you had some suffering, you had to go through some things, and it seems like God's nurtured you along through this journey for many years. Could you give us a glimpse into some of that faith journey, too, to encourage either the senior saint that's finishing well and needs to value the time that they still have to be productive and engaged and involved, or maybe that young person that has a heart for writing or storytelling and wants to maybe find out some of the keys to live a full life?
Absolutely. The thing about comedy is, and you'll find this with a lot of comedians, is they also have a lot of times in their life where it's not very funny, and you do get faced with challenges. And that started for me way back in my 20s. I got married at 18, and by the time I was 25, close to 26, I had already had a miscarriage.
Hmm.
I had a full-term 10-pound, 2-ounce stillborn.
Oh,
and then we adopted 2 children, and then God also allowed us to have a birth child.
Hmm.
And then when we had our birth child, within the 2 days after he was born, they came in and told us that he had congenital heart disease and would require probably 2 heart surgeries, and which he did have by the time he was 2. So that's a lot of life by the time you're 25.
And it is.
It was just, it solidified me in trusting God to get you through those times. And it was also around those times that I was starting to write, and one of my first articles that I got published was about the adoption and about the stillbirth and that whole journey. And that got me to writing, and I wrote that, and then I wrote about it again in another magazine. And then I started doing plays in the church, and that's, I became a church secretary, and because of the going through what I had gone through with the stillbirth and whatnot, I wanted to get out of the house and have something that, you know, to occupy my mind and whatnot, so I took the job to become a church secretary. And you can see God's hand in all of this, and then from there, I started writing church plays, I started doing roasts for the pastor, and all of that came from becoming church secretary and getting involved in the church. So it just, you can see it in God's hand working in my life. And then all the way through the years, as God continued to open doors, and really some pretty amazing doors that I'm still blown away that, that he allowed me to step through the door. Also, at the same time, you'd have something come, you know, difficult that you had to walk through. And so it was just this roller coaster of life, which a lot of us get. I always say that life is like an EKG, you know, up and down and up and down. And if it's ever flatlining, you're not here. So that's just life.
Wow.
And right now, in the middle of all that's going on right now, because we're doing the plays, we're doing, we've got three plays, three different theaters. We're doing a ninth play now, musical, with Blue Gate Musicals. So those are, you know, occupying your time and going well, and people are enjoying them. But right in the middle of this season of my life, we have a grandson who, him and his family live with us. But last year, a year ago, last March, he was diagnosed with kidney disease, and he was 17 when he first discovered it. And within 5 months of that, he had total kidney failure and is now on dialysis awaiting transplant. So life gives you challenges. It's like, hey, life's tough, but God is good, and laughter is calorie-free. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the situation you're facing, there's not a lot of laughs in it, but get your laughs wherever you can, because they do sustain you and help you, you know, like you said, it's a medicine, and it's just one medicine that'll help you with life. So I'm a strong believer in the power of humor and in the power of trusting God.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, Martha, what a great testimony to still have such a pure and hopeful and hope-filled personality and story, even through the tragedy many of us can't even fathom. And it just seems like you've lived such a full life. And you could be in retirement, and it seems like you have so many other things going on right now.
It's full steam ahead for you.
Like George Burns said, he said, I'd retire, but who'd support my mom and dad?
Awesome.
But I love what I do, and to me it doesn't feel like work, although you do put in a lot of late hours.
That's
but
work, Martha.
I love what I do, and it keeps me, you know, wanting to wake up early in the morning and get started. So I just love it.
Martha, what are these three New York Times best-selling books that you have?
Well, I helped Rick and Bubba. They had three New York Times bestsellers it was a whiff for them.
Okay.
And so that was fun working on that, those books. So.
And you have 89 books yourself.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So when people come over and they want to look at your library and they say, wow, that's a vast library. No, those are just my books.
As in my books.
But you know, it's kind of funny. I never thought I'd write a novel, because it just seemed like too much work, and you have to, it just seemed like a lot of work. I worked in one-liners and that sort of thing, and plays, but I was doing a lot of sketches and just shorter materials. And in 2012, my first novel came out. So, I mean, you know, you're never too old to learn how to do new stuff, and I've written two now.
That's
and
great.
Both of them have been made into musicals. And the one is Josiah for President, and the other one is The Home Game. So I just think you're never too old to
I love that.
Try it. If you want to try it, just do it.
And is that from the Blue Gate musicals? Is that who's producing that? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, before Marianne closes out with your joke that's in this current edition, the May edition of Prime Life Times, I want to alert our listeners, you must stop by MarthaBolton.com, her website, Martha, M-A-R-T-H-A, Bolton, B-O-L-T-O-N, .com to find out more about her many books. And I think you're going to be in your play's happening in Indiana.
Shipshewana.
But you've been down in Arthur and some of your other plays with the Amish and so forth.
We've done them in Arthur, Shipshewana, Indiana. We have them in Sugar Creek, Ohio, and then also Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania. And if you go to BlueGateMusicals.com, you can... All the information is there, and then definitely forgettable jokes for older folks.
We've got that here at the station.
We got Mother's Day and Father's Day coming up.
We do. Well, I have to read this. This is in the May edition of the Prime Life Times in Laughing Matters. I'm not saying how many candles were on my birthday cake this year, but I think we could have roasted a rotisserie chicken over it.
Yes.
Martha Bolton.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Martha, for being available for today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. We wish you the very best, God's best, and we'll encourage our listeners to stop by MarthaBolton.com, MarthaBolton.com, and this book, we've had a lot of fun with it here at the studios, Forgettable Jokes for Older Folks, Jokes You Wish You Could Remember About Things You Thought You'd Never Forget. What a great byline for this great book, and thank you, Martha, for your storytelling, your cheery disposition, your God-honoring testimony, and allowing God to work through those really heart-aching times, those traumatic times, and yet see that He's a good God, and humor is something that He's given us all, as it does say in Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones, and you're helping us all have that good medicine, a cheerful heart.
You're inspiring, Martha.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was great fun.
Hey, thank you. Take care.
Okay, thank you. You too.
All right,
God bless.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
I've been tickled by a feather. I've been tickled by a wasp. I've been tickled by a yellow bumblebee. Ha 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 ha